Ajnana. Manifesting from ignorance. Sangya. Which designations? Bhavabandha. Bondage to material existence. Moksha. And liberation. Dwau. The two. Nama. Indeed. Na. Not. Anyao. Separate. Sta. Are. Rita. True. Yabhavat. From knowledge. Ajashrachati. Whose awareness is unimpeded. Atmane. The spirit soul. Kevale. Who is separate from matter. Pare. Who is pure. Vicharyamane. When he is properly distinguished. Taranao. Within the sun. Eva. Just as. Ahani. Day and night. Translation, the conception of material bondage and the conception of liberation are both manifestations of ignorance. Wow. Being outside the scope of true knowledge, they cease to exist when one correctly understands that the pure spirit soul is distinct from matter and always fully conscious. At that time, bondage and liberation no longer have any significance, just as day and night have no significance from the perspective of the sun. So you can repeat, the conception of material bondage and the conception of liberation are both manifestations of ignorance. Being outside the scope of true knowledge, they cease to exist when one correctly understands that the pure spirit soul is distinct from matter and always fully conscious. At that time, bondage and liberation no longer have any significance. Just as day and night have no significance from the perspective of the sun. So, purport by the servants of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, material bondage is illusion because the living entity actually has no real relationship with the material world. Because of false ego, the conditioned soul identifies himself with matter. Therefore, so-called liberation is simply the giving up of an illusion rather than release from actual bondage. Yet even if we think that the suffering of material illusion is real and that liberation is thus a meaningful release from suffering, the mere absence of material existence is still insignificant compared to the achievement of factual spiritual life, which is the positive eternal reality opposed to the negative illusion of material life. Ultimately, Krishna consciousness is a pure love of Godhead, is the only significant, meaningful, and permanent status for every living entity. Since darkness of night is caused by the absence of the sun, one would not experience night within the sun itself, nor would one experience individual days separated by nights. Similarly, within the pure living entity, there is no material darkness and thus no experience of liberation from such darkness. When the conditioned soul comes to this platform of pure consciousness, he becomes fit to associate with the Supreme Pure, the personality of Godhead himself, in the Lord's own abode. Very interesting purport and verse. Ajnana sangyao bhava bandha moksha Dual namal nanyao staritta gyabhavat jatra chityatmani kevale pare vicharyamane taranavu vahane. So, omagana timidanda shaganjana shlakaya chakshurun meditam yena tasmai shi vedamaha. So, first, let's reiterate basically what we were talking about yesterday in regard to yesterday's verse, which was, what is ignorance? Remember, there's five different... Does anyone remember yesterday? No. Okay. Okay. Tamizra? Anda Tamizra? What's the next one? Thomas? Moha? The last one's easy. So you don't remember. Maha Moha. Okay. So just so we can understand what ignorance is, because it says here in the first sentence of this verse, liberation of both manifestation of ignorance. So let's try to see how liberation... And here we're talking about not Krishna conscious. Krishna consciousness in this particular verse is talking about liberation, just becoming free. Because the word liberation means to become free, like moksha. And the devotees generally, when they hear just the word moksha, they have have revulsion to the word. Just like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, when he... became Krishna conscious by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he heard the word mukti, which is similar to the word moksha, mukti pade sudoya bhak, just like that verse, tateno kampam sushamikshmanam bhunjanavatma kritam vipakam, ridvag vapurvir viranam namaste, divayeta yo mukti pade sudoya bhak. Of course, that verse says that if one tolerates the reactions or the miseries in this material world and goes on serving Krishna with his body, mind, and words, then he becomes, his rightful inheritance is liberation, mukti pade. So when he heard the word mukti, he thought, nah, we got to change the Bhagavatam. And he changed it to bhakti. But when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard him do this, he said, you can't change the Bhagavatam, you know. Can't change the words of the Bhagavatam because they don't suit you. And then Lord Chaitanya was able to understand and instruct Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that mukti can also refer to Mukunda. You understand? Mukunda, the lotus feet of Mukunda, mukti pade, Mukunda pade. Anyway, so that's another story. So so here we're really talking about just becoming free from the material world, not entering into the spiritual world. Because when it says liberation, the conception of material bondage and the conception of liberation are both manifestations of ignorance, it's not talking about Krishna consciousness. So, talking about ignorance in the five categories which we talked about yesterday, let's talk about, first we start talking about tamizra. And if anyone remembers the definition of tamizra from yesterday, does anyone remember it? No? No one remembers. Anyway, so tamizra, the first aspect of tamizra is actually envy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As described about the soul's conditioning in the material world, Krishna Bhadhya Mukha, that the soul turns his face away from Krishna. In other words, one is envious of Krishna, one is trying to emulate Krishna. This is the first manifestation. And also sometimes this envy is also described by the acharyas, in, at least in Prabhupada's translation, as anger. You understand? We talk about envy and anger as part of tamizra. So if one is simply wants to get liberated, that's very self-centered. Of course, that's one of the four purusharthas that are materialistic: dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. And it's actually not Krishna, it's the opposite of Krishna consciousness. I want to get liberated, I want to be religious, I want to be, you know, economic development, I want to enjoy my senses. So it's a type of anger at God. Actually, one time I was speaking to someone, and they said, Krishna had 16,108 wives. Why can't I have more than one wife? You know, or actually even one lady said, why can't I have more than one husband? So that's anger. You know, envy and anger are very much interconnected, isn't it? If you're envious of someone, I think you have a negative attitude towards them, and you're anger. It's hard to understand how you have envy without anger, etc. You might be able to. Anyway, so that's Tamishra. And then Anda Tamishra builds on that point, and Anda Tamishra is basically drink and be merry, the Epicurean thing. In other words, enjoy. So the same thing about non-Krishna conscious liberation, or liberation that has nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. It's just, I want to enjoy freedom from this stress. It's still based upon the I conception. Of course, the Anda Tamishra, generally described as like the Epicurean philosophy, or as we were describing yesterday, Charvaka Muni, who Prabhupada was very fond of quoting. Charvaka Muni was this guy who said, beg, borrow, or steal. Get yourself some ghee. It's interesting. And then the next manifestation of ignorance is just plain old what? Does anyone know? Anyone remember? What?
I was in the queue, so I didn't get it.
Thomas. Just plain old ignorance. And that's really what lack of Krishna consciousness is. Ignorance. You know, just plain old blah. That's what Thomas is. The next one is moha. Of course, the word moha basically means illusion. And in other words, thinking oneself the body. So in the case of this liberation, one is thinking oneself the person who's liberated, and sometimes one even thinks oneself as God or liberated. Actually, a pure devotee never thinks they're liberated, they just think that they're servants of Krishna. It's still extensions of the false identification due to illusion. And Mahamoha is, let's say, a manifestation of the original moha. I am this body, and therefore everything pertaining to this body is mine. Like, you understand? Like, body, race, husband, wife, children, car, dhoti, glasses, you know, is mine. Mobile phone. Got to take that into account. That's called Mahamoha. If one is attached to the mobile phone, you just say, oh, you're in Mahamoha. Let me analyze your Maya for you, Prabhu. Oh, you're just in Tamas today. Like when Brahmachari is sleeping, won't get up for Mangalarti. Tamas. If someone is wanting more enjoyment, I'm the center and everything like that. I want to, you know, someone's eating, anyway, not prasadam. You want to go that far. Anyway, so it's important to analyze this ignorance according to the descriptions of the Bhagavatam. So, anyway, so a devotee actually decries liberation. In fact, we find statements by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What is it? Mama janmani janmani shre bhavata bhakti hoite gitwaya, isn't it? That nadanam najanam asundurim kavitam bha jagadishi kamaye mama janmani. So he's decrying not only the four, not only the material sense gratification, but he's also decrying liberation there in that particular verse. Nadanam, najanam, nasundurim. Or for ladies, sundara, handsome man. that's funny. Nadanam, najanam, nasundurim, kavitam, ba, jagadisha, kaviye. Mama janmani, janmanish. I simply want to be your servant life after life, is what Lord Chaitanya says. And also, you have statements by the acharyas like Kita Jan Mohoy, Yata Tuya Das, Brahma Janma, Bahri Mukha Brahma Janma Nahiyash. That I simply want to be associated with your devotees, or I simply want to be a devotee. I'm not even satisfied to have a birth as Lord Brahma if he's adverse to your association. So, getting back to the point, so what does it mean that the soul is never liberated? And there's an interesting statement in the Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad that sort of clarifies this. It says, Asango Yam Purusha. The soul is never in touch with illusion or with the modes of material nature. Asango, just like sangha means association, and asango, that means the soul never touches illusion. So how does it never touch illusion and is an illusion at the same time? Isn't it's quite interesting. And the answer is that the soul only thinks he's. And that's the influence of Krishna's external energy. It's the perception of the soul. Just like, sometimes I use the example of someone in a video game or in a simulation. There's like nowadays many scientists have this thing called the simulation hypothesis. And that's a hypothesis means a guess. In scientific language, where they guess that we're inside a simulation and we're identifying with the simulation. We're not actually inside the simulation. Oh, yeah. All right, let me just explain this properly. Just like when one is in a simulated world, maybe wearing VR glasses, you know, virtual reality glasses and whatever, and thinking himself there, there's no question of getting out of that simulated world because it was never there to begin with. Do you understand? He wasn't in the world. It's just an illusion that he was an illusion in the world. So, and the only way to get out is, actually unplug yourself. Not exactly taking the red pill or the blue pill. But the only way to get out in Krishna consciousness is just to be Krishna conscious. And then, even if you're in the world, you're not of the world. That's called Jivan Mukta. It's a very interesting term. Jivan Mukta means that one is alive or in the world, and he's also liberated from the world. And the example sometimes given by the acharyas is like a lotus leaf that has an oily, or not an oily, a waxy covering, and it appears like the lotus leaf is in the water, but it's not actually in the water. So a devotee appears to be in this material world, and he functions in this material realm, but he's not in here in actuality. And what does that mean exactly with a pure devotee? That means he's simply absorbed in trying to please Krishna and is an eternal ras with Krishna. It says that one should not try to guess what is going on in the minds of a pure devotee, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just like sometimes people would try to guess like what Prabhupada was thinking of. You know, people have all these different impressions. Oh, when Prabhupada looked at me, he looked through my soul. We don't know what Prabhupada was doing. We don't know what Prabhupada's consciousness is. That's a projection, isn't it? It's a projection. I mean, because Prabhupada is with Krishna. He's realizing he's always realized his eternal relationship with Krishna. So we don't know. You know, there's that same in Acharyamang, Vijnanayam, Navamam, Yeta, Karichit, Namarcha, Bhujasu, Yeta, Sarva, Deva, Mayoguru. No one should think of the Acharya or the pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada as an ordinary person. In fact, it's described if one sees the pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, of course, as an ordinary person, or sees the deity being made of material elements, that person is possessed of hellish intelligence, hellish consciousness. So basically, we don't know. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you know. But we don't know what's going on in the mind and consciousness of a pure devotee, because he's with Krishna. I mean, like you see great acharyas, like Shyamananda, for example, when they go into meditation, they actually enter into the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and actually are able to bring things back from the pastimes of Radha Krishna into this material realm, or Srinivasacharya. The stories about Srinivasacharya, when he would meditate for many days, his wife would think, you know, what's happening? And she would call for his friend, Ramchandra Kaviraj, to see what was happening, and Ramchandra Kaviraj would sit next to his guru, and he would enter into the same pastime, which was reality. It's not just a figment of the imagination of a pure devotee. It's actual reality. And he would come out, they would both enter or partake of the same pastime, and they both come out together, and sometimes they would bring things back from the spiritual realm. So this is what's happening in the pure devotee's consciousness. So we don't really know. I don't really know, sorry. So anyway, so that's a pure devotee's position, and that's the position, of course, that we aspire for too, to being in the material world, serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but not of the material world. So any questions or comments? Questions, comments, issues? Yes. Lila Sakti, you have a question? Externally, yeah. Yeah, like if you were to judge, I mean, even take like Lord Rishabhadev, it appear, or Shukadev Goswami, that's an easier example to give. Like he was walking naked. You know, I'm not saying that, you know, devotees should walk naked through, and we shouldn't criticize, but he was running naked, and all the, I don't want to say less intelligent people, but you know, the children and some of the women, they were actually making fun of him until he actually sat down and spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the sages respected him. So they couldn't see what his consciousness was like. So we have to be very careful in dealing with, yeah, that's a very important point, in dealing with Vaishnavas, because we don't know. You know, what their consciousness is like. They're not of, Vaishnavas are not of this world. Good point. So any questions or comments? Other questions? Purvaji. Yeah. Speculate on what? No, we take the direct meaning, yeah, rather than the metaphorical meaning. Like Prabhupada would comment sometimes that people, impersonalists, my buddies, they would read the Bhagavad Gita and they would say the Pancha Pandavas, that means the five Pandavas, refers to the five senses. You know, they take an indirect meaning. And the Kurukshetra refers to the body. So that's indirect meaning. The rule for interpretation of Shastra is that when the direct meaning makes sense, you accept the direct meaning. And when the direct meaning doesn't make sense, then you try to understand what is being said metaphorically. The example Jiva Goswami gives is that if you say, go to the house on the river, then the direct meaning usually doesn't have any sense to it. You know, there's a house on the river. It means the house on the bank of the river. So you take the indirect meaning. Only when the direct meaning doesn't make sense. So when Krishna says in the Gita, manmana bhava madbhaktu madhyaji mam namaskuru, just think of me, become my devotee, offer your obeisances unto me, the direct meaning makes sense. Whereas you have people like Dr. Radhakrishna, who Prabhupada would criticize often. I think Prabhupada said he became a dog in Sweden or something like that in his next life. But Prabhupada would criticize him because he said that it's not, Krishna doesn't mean, or it doesn't mean you should surrender the person Krishna, but the unborn, beginningless within Krishna. In the early days of the movement, Prabhupada didn't have his Bhagavad Gita published, so he would actually read from Dr. Radhakrishna's Bhagavad Gita because the translations were accurate, more or less accurate. But the explanations were really crazy. Many of them were crazy like that. So we take the direct meaning of Shastra. So when this verse says that, you know, the soul, asango yam hi purusha, the soul, it's an illusion to think, let me just read this again. Conception of material bondage and the conception of liberation are both manifestations of ignorance. That's interesting. They cease to exist when one correctly understands that the pure spirit soul. In other words, if you understand that you are a servant of Krishna, then there's no question of liberation or entanglement anymore. You're just a pure servant of Krishna. I mean, in one sense, you can say, yes, you're liberated from the three modes of material nature. I mean, Krishna also says, mam cha yobhi abhijanareena. Bhakti yogena sevate sa gunan samatichai tam brahma bhuyaya kalpate. The word liberation can be used in different contexts. For example, mam chiyo byabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate. So one who engages in devotional service, sa gunan samatichai, he becomes free. And there's a, you know, that's also like liberation, free from the modes of nature, sa gunan samatichai. And established Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate, he becomes established in Brahman. But there Krishna is referring to Krishna consciousness, not in the material sense of liberation, just becoming free from something. Because you can't, as we often say, you can't do a don't. In other words, you can't become liberated. That means you can't become free from something without taking up something else. Therefore, the verse in the Bhagavatam states, ye ne ravindaksha vimuktamaninas tvayastabhavad avashuta buddhaya aruya katrena param patam da yushmat angraya. I forget the rest of it. Anyway, it says that those who have impure consciousness think that they are become liberated. And then ultimately they fall down again into gross material activities. And I forget the last line in the verse. Anyway, but it's one of Prabhupada's famous favorite quotes where he says that it is illusion to think that one is liberated without Krishna consciousness because the soul is inherently active, and if you put the soul in a situation where it's not active, ultimately it comes down again into the material realm. So that's another explanation for this. Why, even because it's liberation is simply a negation. A negation has no reality. Only positive things have reality. So Krishna consciousness is positive. And automatically, one gets rid of something, you know, the material entanglement. But without a positive, you can't get rid of the material entanglement. Because even if you go up to the Brahma Jyoti, you still have an escaped that's still, in one sense, self-centered. Still, it's ignorance. Because we described that ignorance is basically, we're talking about tamishra, is basically to get angry at God, to try to avoid God. And so going to the Brahma Jyoti is tamishra. It's avoiding God, right? So that's also ignorance. That's why it says all liberation, conception of material bondage and the conception of liberation are both manifestations of ignorance. Because they're both negations of the reality. They're both manifestations of tamishra, at least tamishra, if not under, not necessarily under tamishra, but at least tamishra, the first manifestation or first category of ignorance. Remember tamishra, under tamishra. Does anyone remember the rest? Tama, moha, maha moha. Remember, it's really important. So you can actually understand what ignorance is by analyzing in terms of these five categories. Something may not be a member of all five categories. Sometimes it is, but anyway. Especially if you go to Chapel Hill on New Year's Eve. That's not to distribute cookies, but... tamishra anda tamishra. Yeah. There's anger there, but anda tamishra is the full manifestation of that. You know, you get angry. That's what it says. That's what it says in the Bhagavatam. Anda tamishra is anger, and then anda tamishra is the manifestation of that, where you know I'm going to enjoy separately than God. Drink and be merry, because I'm going to die. When I die, everything's finished. You know, because the eat, drink, and be merry philosophy is based upon the sense that when you're dead, you're dead. There ain't nothing else. So with plain old tamishra, you may not be thinking that like that. You may just be thinking, I'm angry with God. I want to get to be the enjoyer. But then under tamishra is... You know, there is no eternal soul. Everything at death ceases to be. Therefore, I better make it have a good as time as possible. Like that TV show many years ago. Was it Run for Your Life? No, it wasn't Run for Your Life. Anyway, is where someone was given 1 year to live. What was the name of the TV show? Anyone remember? Yeah, they said, you have 1 year to live. Yeah. And so he thought, oh, I got to squeeze all my enjoyment into 1 year. You remember the TV show?
Yeah.
Maybe it was Run for Your Life. Anyway, whatever. 1960s. So that's anda tamishra. You know, we just have this short life. You know, why am I sitting here in the Hare Krishna temple giving class when I can be at Disney World? You know, what if I spoiled my youth? You know, all the enjoyment I could have had. That's under tamishra. Confirmed. Whoops.